Next on deck, Adam is professor and chair of the Department of Health Policy and Management at the University of Colorado School of Public Health and a ringleader in our Colorado Public Health PBRN. He's a health economist by training and has been working on one of those DAC studies that we referred to earlier. So,
great. Thanks, Glenn. So this is a very collaborative process, and I really love the introduction from Glenn as we start to talk about this, because very much the point of these practice-based research networks is to try to link people who are in practice with people who are in academics. And our study very much follows that trend. So at the very bottom, Lisa Van Remsdonk is my co-PI on this project. So we have, on these projects, and I think most of the projects, there's an academic PI and a practice-based PI. And so Lisa is in our local public health agency, that is, or the Association of Local Public Health Agencies, and she's the practice PI. And this is funded by Robert Wood Johnson, as Glenn talked about, so the usual disclaimer, and I have nothing to disclose. The research question we have is just simply, what is the cost of routine communicable disease surveillance? And we're interested in a question of whether or not there's any economies of scale. And I'm going to say a little bit more about how we got to that question as we go along. So within, you know, there's a whole bunch of lists of required of services that local public health agencies are supposed to provide. Institute of Medicine has a list, NATO has a list, and then Colorado also has a list. And so Colorado has a list of activities that all local public health agencies are supposed to make sure are provided in their community. And this is the list. So again, I think this is a fairly usual list. The trouble is that there's not necessarily funding for these activities. Right? I'm going to show you at the end as we sort of go through this, I'm going to show you a cost number for how much we think it costs to do communicable disease surveillance. And one of the really interesting things is that we took our cost estimates for how much we thought it should cost to do communicable disease surveillance. And communicable disease surveillance lies in a bigger budget bucket. And so we had the number on that budget bucket. And so what happened is, if you think about it, that bucket had better be bigger than the cost of communicable disease surveillance, since that's one of the things that's supposed to be done with this amount of money. So we do a scatter plot, and there's essentially no relationship. I mean, there are some local public health agencies where the amount that we think that it costs them to do communicable disease surveillance is more than it costs them to do this whole range of activities. And there are other agencies that have maybe 10, 20, 30 times more money in that bucket than we thought that it would cost us to do communicable disease surveillance. And again, it's the problem that we run into is just that the local public health agencies don't know. And when the local public health agencies, of course, have a discussion with the state about funding, one of the things states like Colorado asks is, well, how much does this cost? And the answer is, nobody really knows. And one of the things that surprised me as we went through this project is that our local public health agencies are really, really interested in this question. And we did a presentation of a longer version of this talk at our local public health agency's annual meeting. And it was in a really big room. And I thought, you know, there's going to be two people here. And it's always worse to have no people when it's a really big room than a smaller room. The room was packed. And people were just very, very interested in this question. Why we ended up at communicable disease surveillance is we did a survey of the local public health agencies and asked them, if we're going to come up with a cost number for one of the core public health areas, which one would you like it to be? And what they told us is communicable disease surveillance. That was their number one choice. And so when we started looking at this question, so we wanted to be responsive to what we're hearing from our practice partners in terms of giving them a number that's useful that they can do some good things with. This is, of course, what made us really worried is outbreaks. And there's a couple of problems with outbreaks. One is you don't know if there's an outbreak coming, if you wanted to put a cost on an outbreak. The other thing is Lisa Van Remsdonk in particular said, you know, when they're doing an outbreak investigation, we're not going to give them time logs. I mean, you know, they've got enough to do with investigating the outbreak that we can't be doing this kind of research study. And so what we realize is we're just going to cut the outbreak investigation out. Because outbreaks happen, there's sometimes dedicated funding from CDC or the state, depending on the type of of outbreak, we're going to take that off the table, and we're just going to look at routine communicable disease surveillance, which every local public health agency is supposed to do every single day. And we're going to try to figure out how much does that actually cost local public health agencies. So how do we do this? If we're going to do what we also wanted to answer this question of economies of scale, and I'm going to say a little more about that as we go. But what we needed is a measure of inputs and outputs. So inputs are pretty straightforward. It's really time. It's personnel time at the local public health agencies where they're doing communicable disease investigation surveillance. The harder piece was an output measure of what are you actually producing. And what we ended up with as a measure of our output is the number of cases investigated, which we got from our statewide data system that has that. And then essentially all we're going to do, and what you're going to be seeing as we go through here, is we're looking at the relationship between the number of cases that are investigated and the amount of time that's spent. And we would assume that the more cases that you have to investigate, the more time it's going to take you as a local public health agency to do that investigation. So that's the idea. That seems really reasonable. But that's an empirical question. So we're essentially trying to model that, and then we do a couple of other control variables. We have a little bit of a case mix variable for the type of case investigated, and we have various county characteristics. But our sample size, as you're going to see in a moment, isn't huge. So I don't want to overbuild these models. So as we go down this alley, this avenue, one of the first things we had to do was actually figure out when you think about what routine communicable disease surveillance is, we need to essentially build a workflow of what is actually done by local public health agencies. And the way we did that is we asked a whole lot of people in local public health agencies, what do you do? And so we had some focus groups that we ran, we did a whole lot of key informants, and we started building a list of what the different activities are. And this is what we ended up with as sort of the key list. The number one thing is monitoring CDRs. That's the statewide communicable disease reporting system. And again, every public health agency is supposed to be monitoring that to see if any cases come into their community. And then based on, they're supposed to be pulling data out of CDRs, they're supposed to be tabulating it, look for community risks and trends. They're supposed to be receiving the reportable condition reports from providers. Then again, there's some regional EPIs and some infection control practitioners, and they communicate with these. Again, so this is kind of a usual list for what epidemiologists are supposed to do in terms of routine monitoring. Once we got that list, then what we want to do is do what's called micro-costing. So we want to actually figure out how much time are people spending at local public health agencies doing this. And the way we did this is we did these time logs. And this is a picture of what the time log looks like. And so all those things that I showed you a couple of slides ago, here's what local public health agencies do in terms of routine disease monitoring. Those are what the rows are. And then what we have is time across the different columns. And then what we ask the local public health agencies to do essentially is tell us everybody who does communicable disease surveillance in your agency. We're going to send them these time logs in, and every 15-minute increment that they spend doing communicable disease surveillance, put an X in it. And then we're going to track it over a two-week time period, and then what we're going to have is a number for how much time you spend over 2 weeks doing communicable disease surveillance. There's also an other category, so if they think there's something on the list, on our list, that falls in this area that we're not including, they can absolutely include that. And we did pilot testing with this, and then Sarah Lampe, our project manager, actually developed a training video that we went through, and so we did some online webinars to train people, and so we got some pretty good response. That gives us the time. The next thing we need to get the cost number is we need to know how much people are paid. And so the way we did that was we did a manager's survey. We also, by the way, asked the managers how much time their employees spent doing communicable disease surveillance. The manager's numbers and the numbers from the time logs don't match very well. We don't know which one's right, but it's sort of an interesting fact. They brought us back salary numbers. We took a lot of median numbers on salary numbers so we could get sort of a typical number and control out in case somebody was sort of really paid much more or much less than you would expect. And based on that, then we can get a per hour cost for every staff member type. And then our output data is from the Colorado Electronic Disease Reporting System, which is CDRS. So CDRS has all the communicable diseases in it. There's a whole bunch of reportable condition defined by statute. This is what it looks like. So we've got the 24-hour reportable conditions, the 72-hour reportable conditions. And so we think this is a pretty good measure for the number of reportable conditions that happen within a local public health agency's jurisdiction. It was actually fairly complicated to get the data. The State Department of Health had the data, so we actually had to ask permission from every local public health agency to get access to their data. One public health agency actually told us no, even though the data was on their website. So we said, really? You know, and so then they said, yes, you can have it, and they took it off their website. But it was sort of a challenge. But in the end, everybody agreed to let us have access to their data. I'm going to talk about animal bites because that's actually a big problem for us as we go along too. And then so we got the CDERS data, which tells us the number of reportable conditions over, and we got that for a 3-month period. And then we matched the CDER data. We pulled 2 weeks of CDER data that matched whenever the local public health agency was actually doing their time logs, so we knew the number of reportable cases that happened during their 2 weeks. So we have 54 public health agencies that would be 50 public health agencies in the state. I thought the number was a little higher. 41 agencies agreed to participate, which is 82% of the public health agencies in the state, so we were really, really happy with that. Our instrument was on the field between April and June. We had a grand total of 111 completed time logs. 84 people reported spending more than 0.1 FTE on communicable disease surveillance. And we also had, there was also some regional epidemiologists, which I, in the interest of time, didn't talk about, but the state has some regional people that they embed in different local public health agencies. And we had their time, too, and they told us both the time they spent helping other agencies and then the time that they spent helping the agency where they're embedded. This is what we got out of the CDERS data. So about half of all the reportable conditions that we saw were foodborne illness, and then about 35% were vaccine preventable. So my research assistant pointed out that the day after Memorial Day, there was this huge spike in foodborne illnesses, which, again, gives us some comfort the data's right. And it also tells us if you're going on a picnic, don't watch the mayonnaise. All right, so this is what people spend their time on doing communicable disease surveillance. So the orange is median and the gray is mean. The number one thing is checking CDERS. And so this is daily time, so this is in minutes. So the median time agencies spend checking CDERS across the state is about 27 minutes. 12 minutes to do, on average, routine investigation, 14 minutes for communication. The medians are much less than the means, and that's because there's a few really big agencies that are pulling that number up. This is per agency.
Per day.
Yep. Yeah. But think about this as a per day number. Okay. One of the things that really, and how am I doing on time?
You're okay.
Okay. One of the things that very much surprised us is 17 of the local public health agencies had no cases. So just zero reportable cases. We should have known this coming in, but we didn't realize this, but there's a lot of really small local public, I shouldn't say that. There are a lot of local public health agencies that cover an enormous geographic area, but not very many people live there. And so whole bunch of those, 17 of those, actually didn't have any cases. Even though they didn't have any cases, they still spend time doing routine monitoring because you have to check and make sure that there aren't any cases. And as I'll show you, there's actually a huge amount of variation in how much time that they spend. This is a scatter plot where what I've got on the y-axis is the number of minutes spent, and on the x-axis the number of cases. And you see we've essentially got two or three. We have four local public health agencies who had more than 10 cases over the two-week period. And then you get that big mass down at the bottom left, and these are agencies that had fewer than 5 cases. And if you blow up that lower corner, the bottom left corner, this is what that looks like. And one of the interesting things is that there's a huge amount of variation within counties that have no cases reported. So even if you have no cases, you go from the low there is an agency that spends on average about 12 minutes a day, and the high is more like 300 minutes a day. So huge variation, even within agencies that don't have cases. We put this in a regression, and I'll skip this quickly, but basically you get a positive but nonlinear relationship, which is consistent with economies of scale. And this is sort of what the minutes per case look like without economies of scale. that this is the total number of minutes you spend as you investigate more cases, and you can see that it peaks and then it starts to decline. And we think that a lot of that is just because there's a point where you start to get enough cases that you can really get some specialized people to do the investigations, and it allows you to do the investigations more quickly and efficiently. It's really hard to get cost numbers, and again, I'm just going to briefly reference this, that to get cost numbers, you need to have the salary and the time, you need to have the fringe rate, and then you also need to have an indirect rate. So in other words, what are the agency costs to sort of support the person? The indirect rate was very, very difficult, and I think with all of the DAX projects, that's been the hardest thing to do. We used a reported indirect rate that for federal funding for agencies that had it, and then we did a missing data imputation to guess what the value would be for agencies that didn't have it. That seemed like a reasonable way to approach it. I'm going to skip real quickly, though. So then what we did is we calculated the cost per minute for each employee, and then we added up the number of minutes that everybody spent on communicable disease surveillance across the agency across the two-week period to get a cost number in terms of how much it costs to do that. And I'm going to give you the cost at the very end as we go through this. And we ran a regression. That's really exciting. A couple of limitations before I give you the bottom line. Actually, I think it is kind of exciting. Okay, so a couple of limitations. One is we're treating an investigation as an investigation to a large extent. We're adjusting a little bit for things like foodborne illness versus vaccine preventable. But basically, an investigation is an investigation. That's probably not true. Our time loggers are very concerned about issues of seasonality. Is what happens in April, May, and June representative of what happens in the rest of the year? That's a good question. We are not including state costs in direct costs. As I say, we imputed a lot of those numbers. And then for the CDERS data, it's probably not really incomplete, and it's not a comprehensive list of everything that local public health agencies do in terms of communicable disease monitoring. In the interest of time, I'll go quickly over this, but essentially the bottom line is we look statistically at whether the period of time we were looking at was atypical in terms of the number and type of cases, and we said it didn't look like it was. We also asked people directly, our time loggers, is this a typical week, a high week, a low week? And most of them said it's a typical week with a pretty even distribution between those who said it was a high and the low. But however, our time loggers are very concerned on this point. So we're actually refielding the survey to do it again in the fall to make sure that we got the number right. So here's our bottom line. Local public health agencies spend on average about 54 minutes a day doing communicable disease surveillance if you have no cases. That costs the local public health agency on an annual basis about $12,000. It then costs, on average, about 54 minutes to investigate a case if you're investigating one case over a two-week period. If you're investigating 10 cases over a two-week period, it's going to cost you about 34 minutes per case, which then gives you a cost per case number of $377 for the low-volume agencies, dropping to $251 for the high-volume agencies. So what our partners are very interested in is that you can essentially take this number and you can, based on the number of cases you have, you can have a pretty good estimate of how much it's going to really cost you to do communicable disease surveillance. We had a lot of help from our agencies. And I'm going to stop.